So last week we were talking about we're working our way through Ephesians, right? And we're looking at this idea of this floodlight that hope's call is revealed, and it's this idea that as we come to terms with what God has done in our lives and how He's working, our eyes are open and we see just the amazing things that God is doing, what He's called us to be a part of. And I think that's an important statement today, is that what He's called us to be a part of is more than just the individual. It's a group. And what we've been doing is we've also included this idea we're trying to create a bit of a gallery here where people are bringing different works of art, things that inspire them to see the beauty of God, the beauty of creation. Maybe it's something that sparks some thought in their lives. And so we've been adding a few works each week. And if you want to contribute to this for a while, we'll have this up for the next, I guess, month or so. And you can see that there's a work of art that keeps changing each week. And I'm curious to see where that will end up. But it's this idea of we haven't seen it fully yet, and it's starting to unfold. The word for this in the Bible, in the English Standard Version, would be the manifold wisdom of God. It's starting to be unfold, and you can begin to see it more. And so we trust that as we go through the series that you'll be drawn into this. One of the struggles with going through Ephesians is there's so many good things to tell you about and so much to learn, and yet we only have a limited amount of time. And so I would suggest that you read this on your own as well. Ephesians is a good book to read, but we'll try and work through it. So last week, we looked at the fact that the Gentiles, that is non-Jews, have been included in God's plan. For the longest time, they thought it was just for the Israelites, just for the Jewish people. They were understanding themselves to be the chosen people of God. And then all of a sudden, Paul comes along and says, no, this is more than just for Jews. This is for all the nations. This is for everyone. And so now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people, and you're members of God's family. Together, we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. What an amazing thought to think about us being joined together with God's chosen people. We're considered to be members of God's family, is the first word that comes out there. And it says that once we were outsiders, but now we are included in God's sacred community. God has joined us together, has joined together all those who call Jesus Lord, and has built us up into His house, with the apostles and prophets setting the foundation, and with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone. He's the one that the whole building is built around Him and is mapped out based on this cornerstone and is now beginning to take shape. He sets the direction, the pattern, and finally we're joined together and we've become a holy temple. So not one that's built out with actual bricks and mortar, but together as a group of Christ followers, we become part of the spiritual dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. All these metaphors, so we have that of family, a house, that of a temple, they all point to the fact that God has carefully joined us together. I love that idea that He's carefully placed us very strategically and specifically to be part of something that's extraordinary. It's extraordinary because it's this idea that we've been placed and set in this unique building that is so diverse. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, His handiwork, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which He prepared in advance for us to do. Together, we are all like a work of art that brings glory to God, for there could be no other explanation for how this works. It begins and ends with Jesus Christ, God's Son. He's the head, and we are the body, the church. Locally, globally, we are all part of His body. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1, He rules over all things. He's far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Something we don't often think about, the world to come. God put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. This body includes us. Christ was made head over all things for our benefit. We are made full and complete in Christ. All these are truths that we've heard about many, many times, and we've talked about them here in the church. But I think we need to grasp for a second, just rest in this knowledge for a bit, that first of all, the message is not about individuals. South America is a great example of a group of people who do not think as individuals. They think more corporately as a group. We are a community. And I think that sometimes in our Canadian, North American ways, we begin to read verses in a very self-centered kind of way. I am God's masterpiece, or Christ has been given for my benefit. Very individualistic. When actually, this is intended for the body, for the church. Christ was given for the benefit of the church. So, sure, we understand that individuals in this body, as individuals, we must give account for our own actions. I get that. But at the same time, we must never lose sight of the fact that we are part of a body. Together, we've been carefully placed as members of His family, His holy temple. It's a living temple. And so then we have this mystery, and Paul says this in verse 3. God Himself revealed His mysterious plan to me. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by His Spirit, He has revealed it to His holy apostles and prophets. This message got Paul into a lot of trouble with the Jewish establishment, who were believed themselves to be kind of the exclusive chosen people of God. But he proclaimed this gospel message of Jesus Christ, this good news message, that it was intended not only for Jews, for the chosen people, but it was intended for all the nations, for non-Jews as well. This message needed to go out to the whole world. And this is God's plan, Paul says. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Talking to some people just a bit ago about inheritance, and how, you know, when you start to talk about estates and executor and all that kind of thing, how quickly there's divisions that can come in a family, right? And thinking about how this says that both Jews and Gentiles share equally, they've been equally inherited the riches that come by being God's children. Both enjoy the promise and the blessings, the promise of blessing. The mystery was something that was being revealed through Jesus and then His followers, and it had not been made sense before this. And so in that way, it was hidden, it was still undiscovered, it was a mystery, not because God was trying to hide it, but some things had to unfold, and that, of course, was that Jesus Christ would come. Verse 7, but now, by God's grace and mighty power, Paul's talking, says that Paul was given the privilege of serving God by spreading this good news to the Gentiles. Some would maybe question Paul's use of the term privilege that he used here. Paul's in prison as he writes this letter, and he's despised by Jews and Gentiles, and who were threatened by his message. For the Jews, he was threatening their place of honor as the chosen people, their exclusive right to that. For the Gentiles, he was attacking their idolatry, their way of worship that was actually quite a lucrative thing. Think of Artemis. Glenn Belbeck was sharing some of the picture of Ephesus and how their idol worship was a big part of this. And people would come from miles around to worship at the temple there. And so these pagan gods, all these things created a lot of interest. And there was a lot of people that were hanging on to this and the superstitions that would go along with that. And Paul was threatening that. But Paul also felt unworthy of being this messenger, as he too at one time hated anything to do with Jesus Christ. He was throwing Christ's followers into prison and being part of that movement. But God got hold of his life, and he was a new man because of it. He was forgiven, spirit-filled, and he was passionate about reaching the nations for Jesus. You know, something can be very difficult and still be a privilege, right? This message that we have, it can be very difficult to share. It can even bring hardship along, but it's a privilege and an honor to carry that message. So we can lose sight of this honor, this privilege that's ours to represent Christ. For some of us, there can be this sense of entitlement. We grew up in I was born into a Christian family. I grew up in the church. This is my place. And, you know, I kind of deserve to be here. You can have that mindset, right? That entitlement. And we may even harbor resentment for people who are new to the church, who've come to faith later in life, and we're going, you have not earned the right to be a full participant in what we do here. We can send out those messages sometimes. Then there's the other ones who are new to this whole Jesus journey, and you may feel inadequate in the sense that I don't know what to say or how things work. I don't get this church culture thing. How do I fit in? And so as you come into the church later on in life, you are fully a participant of this church. You are needed and you are part of the body of Christ. So not understanding the culture of a group does not disqualify you in any way. So in all of this, we recognize that it's because of Jesus Christ that we are here. It begins and ends with Jesus. Eugene Peterson says that there is no BC before Christ in people's lives. That whether we know it or not, Christ is always present. And of course, you know, many people overlook Jesus and they even deny him or reject him. But denying Christ does not change the fact that he's active in our lives. God loved the world so much that he gave his son that whoever believes in him can have eternal life. Did anyone see the GQ article recently? Do you read GQ? No one does? Read it for the fashion tips. Anyway, it went around on social media, and it's called this thing was What Would Cool Jesus Do? And there's their pastors. They're cool. If only, right? But the thing is, what would cool Jesus do? I thought this was an interesting article, and it's worth a read, actually. But it's a Hillsong church that's in New York City. So Hillsong started off in Australia, but it's grown to be all over the world. And they have this church in New York City. It has people like Kevin Durant goes there to church, NBA star there. And then Justin Bieber goes there, which is kind of awkward because Selena Gomez goes there as well. And they're no longer together. Anyway, it was fascinating actually to read about Justin Bieber because, you know, a Canadian fame, he goes around and gets himself in a lot of trouble, but he actually spent a lot of time at the pastor's house there. I think he lived with them for a month or 3 months or something, just lived in his house and was trying to get some things together, and it's still a process. The thing is that we are part of a body that includes rich and poor, famous, not so famous, and we're all joined together. So this message is for people like those guys that go to the Hillsong Church there. It's also for us. It's also for people in the small villages in Bangladesh, right? It's a message that goes out to the whole world. God's purpose is this, in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The church on display. The English Standard Version says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The manifold wisdom of God. This many-fold kind of mystery is coming to light, and we are able to see it in its rich variety. This mystery of God working in our lives is one that is discovered more and more as we live and dive in deeper. Even during the dry times, the dark night of the soul times, we can point to God's work in our lives, that he draws us together and unites us by his Spirit. Now, the church can look like foolishness, we read in 1 Corinthians 1. To the world around, it could be ridiculous. Why would you go to church? Why would you go and be a part of a group of random people who you don't even know, you're not even related to, most of you, and except for Bonavista, where everyone's... Anyway, the idea is that we have these people that come together, they sacrifice, in your case, a Sunday morning, and you just take time out of your busy lives, and you go, no, this is important. I want to gather with a group of people and be with them. Why would you do that? That's just crazy talk. But we find ourselves drawn to this community of like-minded believers who are wanting to learn what it means to be a Christ follower. Now, let's just be honest here, that we know that we're not perfect, so we know that we mess up. We say some really inappropriate things sometimes to people who may be struggling with illness or grieving, and we just don't know how to respond tactfully sometimes, and we just blurt something out. We know that in our desire to help people, sometimes we can come across be condescending, and we don't give people credit for having some smarts. And we might become judgmental in some of our language, and we don't even realize it, where it's kind of just something that comes out, and so we're forever having to learn how to be more understanding, how to embrace people in better ways. We get that. But sometimes we can lose sight of all of the positive things that come with being part of the body of Christ. And we also can get this confused that the spiritual church, we can get confused, obviously, with the business of church. You heard about, you know, we were talking about the budget just now, that, you know, there's a revised one that you really need to pick up because it's a good news story. But the other idea is that we can confuse the organization of church with the grander vision of church that Paul was trying to get across. So we get that whenever you get a group of people together, you need a plan and you need some organization in order for that to happen. You know, it just random things. Even, you know, you think about these flash mobs that happen. Even those look random at first, and then you realize there's a lot of organization that went into that. But in our world, there needs to be, whenever you have a group of people, some organization. So that quickly becomes our focus. It can be, and we lose sight of the purpose that was behind that. And we get caught up in the business of church rather than this idea that we are the children of God joining together as his body. So let us not lose sight of the fact that we are called to display the rich variety of God's wisdom, who brought together completely diverse people. Some of them don't even speak the same language, and he unites us into one body. How crazy is that? It's awesome. So when we function best, we're responding to the work of the Holy Spirit, who prompts us and leads us and guides us. That's when Christians, Christ followers, are functioning at their best. It usually is seen in how we care for one another, and for those that we care for outside of our group, outside of our walls. Often, Christ followers and churches are at the forefront of humanitarian efforts. We had a refugee meeting last week, And there was well over 50 of us that gathered together, curious about how we can help refugees settle here in Calgary. What can we do to be involved? That's part of our DNA. It's actually something that we need to be involved in helping others, because it's when we are alive and when we're actually functioning at our best. It's natural for us to want to care for others. I read this story on CTV on their website this week. I'm not sure, just a disclaimer, I'm not trying to say anything about the characters in this story. I'm not sure of the spiritual condition of the woman in the story, but I do know that it reflects the kind of love that we need to have as we follow Jesus. And the story is one that an act of kindness can have huge effects that ripples outwards. And so I'm not sure if you heard the story, but a man in BC, he was on the Vancouver SkyTrain. He took a picture, and this picture that you see there, this man is holding this woman's hand. And so the story goes like this. Man took a picture of an elderly woman holding the hand of a man who was sitting on the floor of the train. The man had been acting erratically, yelling and cursing and scaring those around him. People were starting to move away, but then a woman reached out her hand towards the agitated one. She didn't try to grab him or anything like that. She just reached out her hand and waited until he reached back. They just held hands for about 15 to 20 minutes until he got to his stop. What he did is he sat down next to her and he calmed right down as he held her hand. And he stayed there silently, sitting on the floor. The man became emotional and had tears in his eyes at one point. And every time he'd start to get kind of agitated and riled up again, she would just look at him and he would calm right down. When the man arrived at the stop, he got up and said, "Thanks, Grandma," and then got off the train. The person who took the picture said he thanked the woman and said, "God bless you. The world needs more people like you." And then she started to cry and said, "I didn't want him to feel so alone." Acts of love and kindness stand out. A person who was agitated, riled up, was actually expressing a sense of deep loneliness and loss. And this woman just simply was there, present, holding his hand, didn't lecture him, didn't counsel him, just was present. And that's what we can do as God's people. God's purpose in all of this, this plan of the church, was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. It doesn't always make sense. It doesn't have to be super profound, but it can make a huge impact in our world. We as the body of Christ, represented here at Bonavista, we have the opportunity to display the rich variety of God's wisdom that's seen in us. And I was thinking about this idea of God's wisdom. It's not that we are incredibly wise, right? It's just the wisdom that God uses to bring all different people together and says, "You will become my people." In fact, I just did the whole church and steeple thing. I didn't even know it. Wow. Anyway, that we have all these people. Images, right? Do they do that down in Columbia? Do they do the church and steeple? Okay, just checking. No, but we're all joined together as his body, unique, weird individuals all stuck together in our randomness, and this is part of God's plan, that he can show his, ultimately, he can show his power that doesn't make any sense, that he can use a group of people who are coming from such diverse backgrounds and nationalities and places in life that are so different, and yet he draws us together to be part of his body. So here we are. As we love one another, we reflect the light of Jesus, and we give God glory by our good deeds, as Matthew says. But this requires commitment. This is where it gets a little painful. It requires commitment. Obviously, it requires a commitment to Jesus Christ. That goes as something that we preach often. But I think we often overlook the commitment that it requires of us to one another. Hebrews says, "Let us not neglect meeting together, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. The Lord will come again, and he's going to come back and be with us, and he's going to take us to be with himself, and being part of this body is a place that we can encourage one another in these last days. Being part of Christ's body means loving Jesus with our whole heart. It also means reaching out outside these walls to love others. But then, let us also never lose sight of the fact that we need to one another inside these walls as well. I think that sometimes churches, we do well with love God, love others, and we mean outside. But we don't necessarily know how we do that inside the walls. So our lives are busy, and it's impossible to know everyone and spend time with everyone that's in this room. But standing together in support, intentionally walking alongside a few that God has placed on your heart in deliberate ways will help to strengthen your connection to this body here at Bonavista as well. So what I mean by that is you say, Lord, would you open my eyes to see someone who is being overlooked in our midst here? And all of a sudden, you'll realize that you have been for months walking in to the church and going to your regular seat, getting your coffee and having a conversation with a few people that you've, you know, gained the courage to get to know a bit more. And then you'll realize that there's maybe someone or some people who are kind of being overlooked and don't know where they fit. And you're going, it's kind of awkward. I don't know if I should ask, you know, like, are they new? Because they've probably been here for a long time. And it's just getting over yourself and starting to reach out to other people. And so as we do this in deliberate ways, we need to pray that God would open our eyes to those around us. And then this may also require that we carve out some time in our schedules. It is crazy trying to connect with people, right? And so to be intentional about saying we need to spend some extra time and just focus on a few others. Small groups, we just had a small group leaders meeting last night. What an awesome bunch of leaders we have. And just their heart to draw people together and to support one another in this congregation. But then to care for one another is a huge aspect of that. So small groups is a great opportunity. If you're feeling like you want to connect more with others, if you want to go deeper with some people, I was saying to the group last night that we talk about doing life together, you know, how we want to kind of live this journey of life and we want to do it together. Well, that doesn't just happen. That has to actually be choices that we make to say, you know, normally we would just kind of head off to the restaurant on our own after, but actually now we're going to do life together. So we're actually going to take some people with us and we're just going to expand our circle a little bit more and to include other people more intentionally. Today, we're going to take communion, and as we take communion together, we're making the statement that we need Jesus, obviously, that we need Jesus. His death and that his sacrifice that was made on our behalf is what gives us forgiveness of sin, which allows us to have a relationship with God. The communion table is about the broken body of Christ and his shed blood, which forgives us of sin. We acknowledge that. And as we take this bread and this cup, we're going to be saying that by actions. We're going to be saying, yeah, I really believe that Jesus died for me. So we get that part of it. But his broken body and his shed blood, not only have they made it possible for us to be included in the body, his family, and it allows us to also have a relationship with God. But when you think about being part of this family, we are taking this communion together, right? And there's a reason that we're doing that together, because we are saying that this new relationship that we have with God has also allowed me to have a new relationship with those around me. I can forgive others as I have been forgiven, and I can also embrace others and go, God loves you, and I know that because he loves me, so therefore he must love everybody because I know what I'm like. But let us not forget that we're taking this together. We remember the new covenant with God through the blood of Jesus, but this also is a new covenant with one another. We stand together in solidarity, Christ's family. So let us support one another, pray for one another, and we should pray with one another. And so there's always a prayer time at the end of the service over here if you want to have someone pray for you, to pray with you. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. What a promise that is. What a great statement. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Ephesians 3:12. Let's pray. I'll invite those who are serving as well to come forward. Jesus, we thank you for your gift to us, that you gave yourself, that you died for us so that we could have life, that we could be made new. And I pray that you will join us together as your body, that we would be unified by your Holy Spirit, that you would knit us together in such amazing ways that we would display God's wisdom throughout this city, throughout the world, that we would be a reflection of your love to others. Lord, I pray for those who feel like they don't fit, who feel like they're on the edges. Would you help them to find deep relationships where they can share their love for you, but that they could also experience the love that comes from you? Open our eyes to one another, Lord, that we can see those who are around us in new ways. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're new to our congregation, I'll just give a few explanation statements here to let you know how we will do communion. Communion is something that came from the Last Supper when Jesus was with his disciples, but then it also was something that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 11 as he's telling the new Christians how to, reminding them of how they do, they celebrate the Lord's Supper. And the idea is that we have these pieces of bread that represent the broken body of Christ. It's a symbol of that Jesus' body was broken for us. And by his brokenness, we also recognize that we have brokenness in our lives and that we need Jesus to be a part of our life. And then later, at the same time, the way we're doing it today, we'll also receive the cup. And the cup is, Jesus said, he says, this cup, it represents my blood, which is shed for you. And so again, it's a symbol of that Jesus died for us, that his blood was shed so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And that goes back to the idea of sacrifices. In the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals, and then that would be a sign of the forgiveness of sin. And so these symbols that we take are a reminder. And so we're going to invite you to come forward and to receive these. There's different stations, just very practical statement. There's gluten-free crackers at everyone, because we know that there's some of you here that really struggle with that. And so you can come to any of the stations, and you'll get a piece of bread and a cup. And then you can go back to your seat, and then we'll wait, and we'll all take it together. When you go back to your seat, it's a very practical moment, but it's like you go down and you sit in your seat and just contemplate and meditate on what the sacrifice has meant for you. It's a time of reflection, basically. And so that's how we do it here. There's many different ways that churches do this. Some pass out the elements, others invite you to come forward. And it's just part of the culture that's simply how we do it here in this church. It's not like a prescribed way or anything. And so I'm going to ask the servers if they'll come, and they would love to serve you as well. Alan is going to come around. If you're unable to come to the front, or maybe you don't want to come to the front, that's okay too. And just raise your hand and let Alan know, and he'll bring you the elements right to where you are. And so he'll do that in a second and can come your way. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. We thank you for your love. And we pray that as we participate together, that you would unify us as your body. And we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.